But God can swing one time and be real quick and get it done. So we're gonna go in and get in. Psalms 142, verses 1 and 2. That's all we're doing tonight. It's good to see y'all. Hey, Gabe. I'm looking for them faces, man. All right. When you get there, say amen. All right. Psalms 142, verses 1 and 2, and it reads, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I shewed before him my troubles. Lord, I do pray you would bless your word, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would just have your way, Lord God. I pray, Daddy, that I would decrease and you would increase, Lord. I pray, Father God, against any distractions, Father God, anything that would cause your word not to touch the hearts of your people. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, tonight, guys, we're gonna have 3 points, three really short points, right quick. I say short, but Holy Spirit do what he want. We just gonna go with it, you know. But we gonna have 3 points as of now. And the title of this message, God bless you. The title of this message is, how do you handle difficult times? How do you handle difficult, God bless you. How do you handle difficult times? Now, in the book of Psalms, this particular psalm, Psalms 142, David wrote this psalm. David called it a mastiff, which means instruction. This psalm here, David gonna give us some instructions to how to deal with trouble. Amen. So in this part in David's life, David was in a cave. It was a really tough spot for David. David was in a cave. David prayed. All right. David was in a dark, dark place in his life at this particular time. He was being pursued by Saul. How many of you know that Saul was trying to get David? Saul wanted to. Yeah, really, really get David. You know, hold up, yo, I gotta keep it good. Something I do every time I'm here. I gotta touch a hand. Because she take care of me. She make sure I'm good. She don't want the praise, she don't want none of that, but she wanna make sure her husband is good. So I have to make sure I touch that beautiful woman's hand. Amen? Oh, she don't like that, no. But that's all right. She know I love her. Okay, back to the scripture. But Saul was pursuing David, and Saul wanted to kill David. He wanted to take David's life. Now, and as I think upon that, I have to believe that David was in some real distress. David was really struggling. I mean, because you got to think that somebody is really just hunting you down constantly to kill you. They're not hunting you down to help you. They're not hunting you. Saul wouldn't hunt David down to go have a walk in the park or to go do lunch or something. Saul wanted to kill David. That had to be a hard place. You know, that really, really had to be a hard place. I would call it a stressful place. Can you imagine what David was feeling? Now, at the same time, David was serving the Lord. David was anointed to be king of Israel by Samuel at a young age, so he knew that was God's destiny for him to be king. But still, he had problems, and he had troubles. How many of you Christians here ever had some trouble? I got some trouble now I got to deal with. But thank God, you know. So David knew that it was God's destiny for him to be king, but still, he has all this trouble. David also knew that it was best not to touch Saul. Because if you know your scriptures, David could have dealt with Saul himself. David was a bad boy. David could have got it in and finished Saul, and that would have been a done deal. But David had a relationship with Christ. And David knew what the Psalms say in Psalms 105. It's 105:15. It says, touch him not, my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. See, David knew his scriptures. David was in a tough spot. You know? Saul had him on one side, and he can deal with the situation, but if he deals with it, then God gonna deal with him. So what I do? I'm just in a tough spot. You see? Saul was also anointed. Saul was the king at the time. Oh, let me flip my paper, y'all. Hold up. And David knew that. So David did was kind of in a little situation. You know how I like you, some of y'all got little brothers. Got little brothers running. Who got a little brother around here? I'm the big brother in mine. When I come up, I was the big dog. But that made it more familiar to me. Because I had little brothers and they would mess with me. And I wanted to pass on them. I really wanted to, you know, just touch up on them just a little bit, just so they'll back up. But I knew if I touch them, what my daddy would do. So it's like, what you do? You know what I mean? And I gotta believe that Saul knew that too. My little brothers them knew that. So they can run by me, kick me, and keep running. I used to just look at him, boy, watch my daddy leave. You're going to see. I got something for you. But that's the type of situation that David found himself in. Let me stick with my notes because I want to move yet. So Saul was after David. David found himself in a cave. He found himself in a cave. Now let's talk about a cave for a moment. Anybody felt like they was in a cave before? Like just, a cave is a dark, dark spot. It's really dark. David was in a dark place of his life. Now, so I asked, I said, okay, let me look at this cave thing. A cave is a natural void in the ground, specifically a space large enough for a human to enter. But not only a human can go in, some caves are deep. Y'all pray for me while I get through this. Some of them is deep. The caves are deep. So I continue looking, and I see where it says why caves are important to humans. It says because caves are resources that provides natural drainage and drinking water. Now y'all follow me now. Check me out. Got my towel. It provides natural drainage and drinking water. You know, sometimes in our lives, God wants to put us in a dark place. God intentionally puts us in a dark place. Why? So he can get rid of some of that stuff. You see, some of that stuff we have on us got to go to the drain, man. We got to get rid of that stuff. You know, it's kind of like before salvation, we born sinners. We born unsaved, Mike. Some of us 30, 40, 50 years before it happens. Some of us even longer, 60, 70. Y'all sure waited long. But some get it later than others, you know? It's like salvation. Along the way, you moving all the way up to 30, 40, and while you're growing and moving, you're constantly picking up stuff. You're constantly getting dirty. You're constantly picking up bad habits. I'm talking about things that God wouldn't allow. We do those things before we save. Y'all can agree with that? Yes. don't be too Christian, because look, we coming with it tonight. We pick up stuff. You know? And salvation happens, and there's a cleansing that happens. It's a cleaning that goes on. You know, you're not saved one day, you're saved, you don't desire to do the things you used to do. It's a cleansing. It's going to the drain. It's like having a new vehicle. Everybody know I like to keep my vehicle clean. My wife give me a hard time behind it. They call my vehicle precious. Tell the truth, baby, huh? They call it precious. I keep it up. I say I'm just trying to be a good steward. You know what I'm saying? I go clean that vehicle. That vehicle is spotless. The more I drive, the more I travel in this world, the more I go here and there, the dirtier that vehicle gets. Sometimes the Lord wants to put us in a dark place so he can cleanse us, so he can clean us. Amen? Come on, we're going to keep going. I have a question for you tonight. What is your dark place? What is your dark place? What is that area that is just... It's just what it says, dark. Even us, you know, us Christians, because, man, look, I'm going to keep it real. Sometimes us as Christians, man, we think we all at you. We think we all at, man. We look at people sometimes like we ain't got no problems and no faults and no. Listen, I love y'all. I love my people. I love believers, the body. But we be tripping sometimes. Yeah, we be tripping. We think we got it together. Just because we look at our sin like it's this small and their sin this big. Hey, God. David was in a dark place, but David knew what to do. David knew exactly what to do. Let me see. That brings me to my first point of the evening. I didn't tell you all my points yet. You all about to find out. I got you all to worry about. I got you right here. I got you right here. First point of the night. First point. I cried. That's the first point. Because if you look at Psalms 142:1, David says, look how he starts it. He said, I cried. David said, I cried. Now we got to stop right there. That's we got to work with that. You got to know that in this point in David's life, David was in the cave. So this cry David is explaining to us was what we call a deep cry. It was a deep cry. Saul is on his back. David can't even sleep well. David is a warrior. David can fix things. But in this case, David can't do nothing. David starts off the Psalms by saying, I cry. So men, y'all know I always charge y'all. Let me, have you cried lately? Have you cried lately? You might say, Dale, cried about what? Cried about that dark situation. Cried about that dark situation. I might not know. Everybody else might know about that situation, but you know that situation. And listen, it's not just the men I'm talking to, it's everybody. But we're talking about a man of God, so I want you to think about yourself. What about that dark situation? Have you cried about it? You tired of it yet? Not only your dark situation, but what about them children? Have you cried about them children? You see, understand what David, it wasn't a thing that David spoke in his heart. David, he said it. He not only said it, but he cried it out to the Lord. Have you cried for your children? Did you go to the Lord on the behalf of your kids and cry and say, Lord, if you don't save them, they will not be saved? Have you cried tonight? Have you cried? Miss Aoud, I'm going to put you out there. It's all right? I watched, me and Miss Aoud just agreed. I watched this lady cry for her child. Look, in this building. Cry. Do you know when you cry to the Lord, he moves? I watched Miss Aoud cry until it happened. She didn't stop crying till it happened. And she can testify on her daughter right now. Have you cried for your children? Because listen, we know our children better than anybody else. We know them children's faults. We can see the little conniving ways they're picking up. We play crazy, but we're not crazy. We know them children. We know when they're young. The Lord knows it as well. That's why he said, don't spare the rod, lest you spoil the child. But you see, some of us, they let little things slide. When they're young, they let little things slide. Them children grow into that. And then you look again, it's a piece of grass when it starts, but by the time it's done, it's a full-grown tree. Now they're out of control. So look, I'm asking you, have you cried for your children? Mike, you feel me, Mike? Have you cried for your people? You don't have enough. You're not tired of what we see. A good friend of mine's son just died yesterday. You're not tired of that? Have you gone in your closet and cried to the Lord? Lord, listen. If you don't fix this thing, they will not make it. So I ask you, have you cried for your people? Have you cried for your people? Because any day at any time, it can be one of ours, man. Come on, we're going to keep going. It's good. Have you cried for your health? Because some of us is dealing with some health issues, some health things. And I believe that we have been dealing with that for way too long. So when you're going to cry for your health? When you're going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, doctors can't do nothing for me. Because every time I go, they're giving me a bad report. But I know the God that I serve. He can do anything. Oh, come on, man. For your health, my people. My boy, Russell Paul. I can go that bit. That's all right. Brother got hurt. Brother couldn't move. By 30 minutes. So I asked him, I said, what happened? He told me. You know the first thing he did when he realized? He started crying. 30 minutes later, he was walking. Listen, we got to cry. You see, because us men, we macho, we ain't supposed to cry. Says who? Says who? Have you cried for your spouse? Have you went to the Lord on your spouse's behalf and say, Lord, that Negro is going to buzz hell wide open if you don't save him? Have you cried for your spouse? Have you? Look, don't just take this word like, man, hurry up. Man, y'all listen, man. Listen. Cry for your spouse. What about you haven't cried about that devil on your back? Because you see, we're talking about David here and how Saul was pursuing David. But let me tell you, every morning you wake up, that devil is pursuing you. And listen, that devil wants to kill you, just like Saul. So have you cried to the Lord to get that devil off you? Have you cried about that devil? I don't like that dude. I don't like him. I'll say that. I can't stand him, matter of fact. What about that sin or that struggle? Oh, then it got quiet. What about that struggle? What about that sin that nobody knew? So you think nobody knew. What about that struggle? Listen. I'm up here, man. I got struggles too, man. I got struggles. I struggle every day. Every day I wake up, I struggle. Chantel, every day. Every day. I struggle. I love the Lord, but I still struggle. So don't act like y'all don't struggle. What about that struggle? What about that sin? What about it? What about it? What about it? Have you cried to the Lord about it? Or it's one of the little things that you enjoy so you're not, you say to yourself, well, I'm a sinner, so I'm going to hold on to that one. They got people do that. What about that struggle? What about that sin? We always should want to get better. This is a good one. I cried for this one. What about that breakthrough? Come on. Oh. What about that breakthrough? Something you've been praying about, but it just seemed like it ain't never gonna come. What about that breakthrough? Y'all got the heat on in here? Ooh. What about that breakthrough, Mike? We press, we push, we grind, but still, it's like it don't show up. I don't know about y'all. Oh, sure. I ain't crying tonight. It's no way. No. What about that breakthrough? You feel like you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. You're serving countless hours. You got problems. When people come with their problems, you got to put yours aside because you got to deal with them. You got to help them. B. What about that breakthrough? Have you cried for your breakthrough? God, that breakthrough seemed like it didn't want to come for so long. Like, man, I quit, Mike. That was the feeling. Like, I ain't had to do this before. Cry about that breakthrough. You see, I had a little meeting when I first got saved. Right? Let me share this with y'all. I first got saved. I had a meeting with my spiritual father, Pastor Morris, my spiritual father. So we had a meeting, man, and we were sitting down talking, and I was telling him, I was like, man, this doesn't feel right. It's like I can't breathe. I can't move. I can't do nothing. This is how it's supposed to be. You know, I wouldn't understand it. And I told him, I said, man, you know, because the life I come from was a sinful life. It was of the world. It was of the world. So that was my life. So to me, it was good. I wasn't saved at the time. It was good. You know what I'm saying? Everything was straight. Family was good. We weren't struggling. But then I got saved, and then everything changed. I'm talking about, look, it was drastic. It was like, Where did it go? What happened? So I'm explaining all that to him. And I'm telling him, Pastor, I can't do this, man. I can't do this. I'm not used to this. It's just, I'm looking around. It's nothing moving for me. I can't even think of nothing. That's how bad it was. Keeping it real. Man, I'll never forget. He looked at me. He said, Daddy. He said, you cried about it? Now, when he said that, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what he was saying. He said, did you cry about it? I said, man, I'm a gangster. I don't cry. What you mean, man? I don't do that. John, I don't cry. I don't cry. We take our licks and keep going. We don't cry. Boy, I didn't understand at the time. But I do now. I understand that when you cry, the Lord moves on your behalf. Gotta cry. It's okay to cry. Come on, where we at? Where we at? Noonday prayer sometime, man. I'm in noonday prayer. I'm in noonday prayer, man, and I just be full. Brother Carl, too. Oh, yeah, yeah, Brother Carl. That's a real brother there. Listen, be in noonday prayer sometime, man. I just fall on my knees and just cry. The words don't even, you just cry. To be full. You know, the Lord is with me. You understand? And when his presence is with us, it does something. And, you know, I don't want to show you all my little section because I'll be all over. But sometimes I just cry. For so many things. For one, he's been so good. He's been so, so good. That's not a soul in this building that should be here tonight. Not one. Not one. I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't. I know where I should be until I make it to my next destination. But thank God he changed the whole course of my life. And not only me, no, but y'all, man. We might have not had the same story background, but listen, you should be gone too. You was ratchet. Oh, come on, man. Keep on going, Daly. We as men, we don't want to cry. Listen, David was a warrior. If David was here today, we would call David a gangster. David was the real deal, man. He wouldn't tear people down like we tear people down now. That's a whole different thing David was going to do. David was the real deal. But guess what? David cried. So if David cried, why you can't cry? Why you can't cry? Look, I'm going to take it to John 11:35. That might be the shortest verse in the Bible. Y'all see? What did it say? Jesus cried. Now I know y'all should cry now. If y'all didn't want to buy into David, but I better buy into Jesus. Jesus wept, man. Jesus cried. What about Lazarus, man? Jesus cried. Come on, we're gonna keep going. David said in verse 1, I cried. He said, I cried. And all I want you to get from this, guys, is that it's all right to cry. Mike spoke on that one time. It's okay to cry, man. Crying to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, we moving. We're going to move on to point number two. Point two is with my voice. Now, David said in Psalms 142:1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. David made his request. Now, if you notice here in the scripture, David says that twice. And what that tells me is that David meant business. You ever been around somebody that like for instance, Mark, Come on, Mark. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm gonna do you that tonight. Stand up for me, Mark. A lot of y'all don't know Mark. Well, some of y'all know Mark. It's a bad boy already. I'm your friend, Mark.
Yes,
okay. Okay. Sure. You need some water or something? Everything good?
Good.
Okay. Now, Mark, y'all cutting up. Y'all cutting. Now, Mark is real reserved and chill. Want no trouble, everything good. But if Mark ever look at you and say, you better stop. You're not going to say it loud, you're going to say it low. You better stop. He going to tell you once. Because he's a man of God, he going to tell you again. You better stop. But on the second time, when he said he might turn his body, that means run. Okay, Mark. I just wanted to put Mark out there a little bit. But David said it twice. David said, with my voice, David meant business. David didn't need nobody to do it for him. David did it for himself. David was very, very serious, man. You ever heard that phrase, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself? David knew at that point that I got to pray. I got to go to the Lord for myself. I don't need nobody going to the Lord for me on this hill. I need to do this myself. I need to do this with myself. My brother Phil, that's my big little brother. You know, I'm gonna just give you an example, man. You know, it's like David felt like, you know, he needed to do that himself. He needed to go to dad himself. Now, I'm gonna use Phil and Madison as an example. Madison will make you famous. You're on TV. Madison come to me. Madison say, Deacon Dale, can you ask my daddy, can you tell my dad I need some help? Okay, Madison, no problem. Go tell Phil. Hey, Phil, let y'all do it. Hey, man. Madison say she need a little help, you know, if you can get to. Phil's response might be, okay, I'm going to get to it in a second. I'm going to wait. I'm coming. Follow me, Ms. Glow. I'm coming. That's because I went to Phil on Madison's behalf. You understand? But if Madison go to Phil herself, if Madison holler, Daddy, I need help, Phil going to bust a wall through that son. Phil is going to come see about his child. That's where David was. I don't need nobody to pray for me. I got to do this for myself. It's one thing if I didn't have the connection to him, but man, I got connection. I can talk for myself. I don't need you to talk for me. I always talk for myself. Oh, man, come on, man. Talk for yourself. And then look, not only that, you got to be careful, and look, people praying for you is okay, yeah. That's all right. That's cool. But at least pick the right people. Come on, keep it real. At least pick the right people. you gotta know if you pick somebody, how they going to God on your behalf? What are they saying on your behalf? Is it urgent to them? Because you see, it may be urgent to you, but it might not be urgent to them. I'm in a dying situation and you taking your time. That's not what I need right now. I need you to move something. I don't want to be in a situation and I send you, Minister Phil, go call my daddy, tell him I got trouble in the park, Jay Wallace. I need help. Go tell him. Minister Phil get in his car, he walks through to his car. Start it slow, play the music. Finally get it in drive, go the long way to get to my house. Got to stop by the store, get a Fanta. Listen, man, I'm dead already. It's over with. What I need is, if it's urgent to me, I need it to be urgent to him. I need Minister Phil to say, oh yeah, good. He run to his car, start his car, put it in drive, drive really, really fast. When he gets in front of my house, hit the brakes really hard, slide right in front of that mailbox, jump out the car, run to the front door, knock on the door, hit the door, kick the door. Nobody else, and he running all the way around the back, knocking on the back, jumping over pit bulls. Somebody over here, somebody over here. That's the kind of urgency I need, because I need help. I don't need you to be walking and taking your time and, you know what I'm saying? So we got to be careful who we ask to pray for. You see, I ask Carl to pray for me. If it comes into that situation, I'm going to ask Carl. Because I believe Carl going to pray. You know, a lot of times you ask people to pray for you. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. People forget about you, man. People forget about you. Now, you can look at this different ways. You can look at this like we can eliminate all that and get a relationship for ourselves. We can pray ourselves. I'm going to pray myself. No, because when I need something, I need it. You know what I'm saying? And then when I'm going to see you, I'm going to say, man, you prayed for me? You're going to tell me, yeah, but you be lying to me. So to eliminate all that stuff, we're going to leave that alone. I'm going to just pray for myself, make sure my relationship is good with the Lord. And, hey, man, I can talk to him myself, man. I mean, matter of fact, you need help, I can talk to him for you. You know what I mean? Get a relationship for yourself. And you can do that for yourself. Amen? Amen, amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Pray for yourself. But listen, not only pray for yourself, but believe and expect for what you pray for. See, that's the real deal. You see, because we pray. And prayerfully after tonight, we came in praying, but we're going to leave praying and expecting. All right? See, whenever you pray, you got to expect to receive that very thing you have prayed for. Look, I'm going to give you a scripture. Mark 11:24 in NLT, it says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, right, believe being the key word, if you believe that you received it, if you believe that what you prayed for, you already got it, it will be yours. You have to believe, man. We can't just pray, okay, Lord, I need a house, I need a car, I need whatever it is you pray for, and be done with that. You leave from where you're praying, run into one of your friends, and they ask you, how was that car in the house coming? Well, I think it's coming. You ain't going to never get it. It ain't going to never happen. You have to believe on what you're praying for. So, family, listen, I ask you again, are you praying for yourself? Are you praying for yourself? How is your relationship? Have you been spending time with the Lord? Do you believe truly in him and what he can do? Or have you even accepted him as your Lord and Savior? We're gonna have that opportunity at the end, and we're almost done. But we're gonna do that. Because that is of the utmost importance. If nothing else happens in your life, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay, we're moving on. That's it for point two. Last point. I poured out my complaint. David said, I poured out my complaint. David was in the cave. David let it all out. David said in verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Now, pour out means to freely express an emotion, to talk freely about something personal. Now, y'all stay with me. This is it, y'all. This is it. To pour out, it requires you to open up. It requires you to open up. See, David was in a place in his life where it didn't matter. David emptied himself before the Lord. David cried and emptied himself before the Lord. He didn't leave anything out. Nothing whatsoever. To pour out, you have to expose. We pride for people, so you know, we go to trip and we don't want some things, we don't want to. But we do like the Lord don't even already know. So that's really like kind of funny to me. Like we fooling the Lord or something, but really not. You know, so that I kind of laugh about that. But anyway, in order to expose yourself, you have to trust. Now here's the kicker with that. We trust in the wrong people. We trust in all the wrong people. Lord have mercy. Look, my nose all over the place. We trust in friends before God. Like you can take your friend on the side and explain all your stuff to your friend like God is not in your presence. Like God can't hear what you're saying. You know, it's just like we think we so slick, man. Like we so cold-blooded, man. Oh, I don't know. You know, it just... Like the Lord don't know, guys. What you trust, you will expose yourself to. And oftentimes, what we trust people, trust the wrong people and the wrong things. Now look, I'm going to give you a few examples. Signs when you shouldn't trust someone. Just a few. Number one, somebody that's always talking about somebody. Don't trust them. Because what you think they're doing when you're not there? They're talking about you. Don't trust them. Somebody that's always looking at you. Every time you look, they're looking like, oh, goodness. Like, what is he looking at? Why you? I mean, I realize I just looked at, but he's looking too. Like, all the time? Don't trust him. Where Vinny at? Vinny here? Our boy, he passed away. His favorite word was, hey, man, can I have a word with you? Go talk to him like, but don't trust him. If they're always looking at you, oh, come on, man. You got to watch out for strange behaviors. You got to watch how people move. Yeah. You got to watch them. Watch how they move and be very observant of the rotations and how they. Because see me, I'm a watchman by nature. I watch. Listen to me. I know who members and who not, and I ain't seen no papers. I can tell you who's a member. Because I watch. You know, like we sign up for softball, basketball, and all that stuff. Praise God, I can sit at the table and tell you who come and who don't. I can just look at it and be like, nah, you don't come. Just want to play sports. Let him in, though. It's cool. But you got to watch. You got to watch how, you know, you got to watch people, man. Let's see. Strange behavior. You got to watch strange behavior. Here's the last. We're almost done, y'all. Y'all all right? Yeah. This okay for y'all? Thank you, Lord. Here's the last one. When they're always where you are. So you mean to tell me we go to Walmart at the same time all the time? And we're on I-12 at all the time together. Like, really? Always being, because listen, man, listen. And we laughing and it's good. Laughter is good. But listen, they got strange people, man. People with bad motives. And me being security, I get the inside on that kind of stuff. They got people, man. Listen, y'all be careful, man. Y'all got to watch them. Amen? All right. But David knew who he can call on. David was in a place, y'all. David knew who he can call on. And I know who we can call on. And his name is Jesus. Look, we're closing up. Oh, I did good. We're closing up. Psalm 62:4. Look what it says. It says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. God is a refuge for us. Listen. In verse 2, David says, I poured out my complaint. Have you poured out your complaint before the Lord? You know, we can look at dark places and feel like it's the worst thing ever. And yes, it may feel like that. But it's in that dark place is where, you can come on, Carlos, it's in that dark place is where the making goes on. It's where it go down at in the dark place. So don't be so, you know, I know it's hard. I've been through it. But we can't give up. Amen? Now, with all this being said right here about David, David had faith. David believed in God. And when he prayed, when he cried to the Lord, he expected to receive what he prayed for. I want to read something to y'all in closing. It says, how can we ever desire God to answer our prayers when we don't have an expectation of what we are praying for? We must not only pray, hope, have faith, and believe, but we must wait with expectation. We must expect, listen good to this, we must expect what we are praying for, or it will never show up. Come on, give God some glory. Y'all, I know that this might have been one of the shortest Tuesdays, but it's all right. It's all right. I praise God for y'all. Thank y'all for giving me a little time to come before y'all and just give y'all what the Lord gave me. Amen. But we can't leave here without knowing the Lord is our personal Lord and Savior. Because you see, David was able to do those things because he had a relationship with him. That is what's important. I gave you a little testimony of mine, and when I got saved, it was really rough. Because I didn't understand. But being saved and having the hope that I know when I leave this place, I'm going to be with the Father. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And if there's anyone in here that doesn't know God, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior, you can accept him at this time. We're going to pray. You're going to ask for forgiveness. You're going to believe. You're going to receive. You're going to expect. And then you're going to get what you ask for. Amen. So I thank God for y'all. Y'all know we're in a really, really good place in life. We're in a really good place. Really good place. So will you pray with me? You can bow your head, close your eyes. Father God of heaven and earth, we are here tonight because you have allowed us to be here, Lord. You have kept us, Lord God, not only through this day, but through our lives, Father. And Daddy, you don't make mistakes. So, Father, I lift up every soul in this building, Lord God, praying and asking. Father God, if they're in the cave tonight, Lord, that they would cry out to you, Father. But, Daddy, when they cry out to you, Father, I pray you would move on their behalf like never before, Lord. I pray if they're crying for their children, Lord God, I pray you would save their children, Father. If they're crying for their people, Lord God, I pray the killings will stop, Lord. All the injustice, Father God, I pray you would deal with it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray if they're praying for a spouse, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that if you told them they wouldn't believe you, Father God, the change that's going to happen, Father. Father, we all need you in this place. We're all sinners, Lord God, in need of a Savior, Lord. We fall short all the time, Lord. So, Daddy, help us, Lord God, to be more like you. Father God, we take you at your word tonight. You say you never leave us nor forsake us. Father God, I didn't say it. It is your word, Lord God. So do what thou hast said, O Heavenly Father. And we must thank you, Lord God, for what you have done thus far, Lord. Because truly, truly, you have been good to us. You have been keeping us, Lord. You have been guiding and ordering our steps, Father. And for those things, Daddy, we say thank you. Father, we say hallelujah to your name. Now repeat after me. Say, Lord, thank you for loving me. I thank you for being my God. I thank you that the enemy can't hold me. I admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I do believe that you died on the cross for every one of my sins. I do believe that you was buried, and on the third day you rose with all power and all might. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The grave couldn't hold you. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Fill me up. Fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank y'all so much. I love y'all. I really do. Y'all are blessed. Amen. Y'all have a blessed night. Remember, keep in prayer, but pray for me. Y'all pray for me. All right, love y'all. Be blessed.